Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to Sister Wives with Mary Jane Kay. Today, I'll be giving my commentary on Seeking Sister Wife, Season 5, Episode 5, Seeking Can Be Complicated. The episode opens with the Merrifields and Danielle is really trying to hold Garrick accountable about checking out new people on the dating app still. And Garrick, of course, is lying and he's claiming that it doesn't matter, he can't see the people anyway, unless he pays for the apps that are still on his phone. Now, the Merrifields have been in Cancun now for a couple of days, and long ago, Danielle warned her husband that Natalia really wouldn't like it if she found out he was still active on dating apps. And we learned Garrick has most likely 10 to over 10 dating apps. Garrick was going to propose, and now he's frustrated because things aren't going well. We find out that Garrick lied to Natalia. He told her he wasn't on the dating sites. He volunteered himself that he was going to delete all of the dating site profiles, all of the apps. And Natalia picked up his phone to use the translator and she saw a notification from a dating app on Garrick's phone. And she is upset over it and rightfully so. Now, Garrick explains that Natalia saw the dating app on his phone and he knows that that looks bad, but he explains that Natalia and Danielle are loved regardless, and he says it's just a bad situation. But he wants everyone to know his priorities are Natalia and Danielle, and they're so loved by him. So even though it looks bad, even though it's a bad situation, it's not that bad. Garrick has every excuse in the book, and he tells Danielle that after he disabled the things, the profiles, the dating apps, you really can't see people anymore. You can't really find new people to date. He's only responding back to the old people, to the older messages. And he says that he told Natalia and Danielle that he was going to be polite, that he wanted to be considerate, that he didn't want to ghost anyone. So he would be responding back to just the old people on the dating site that he used to correspond with. Now, Danielle tells Garrick that she knows he can still chat with new people. He can chat with whoever he wants on those dating apps. And Garrick says he can't chat with them and he tries to lie. He acts surprised that even after he disabled these apps, supposedly, that he is still able to communicate, even though he's been communicating with women all along. He plays dumb, like he's completely shocked that he can still communicate with whoever he wants on the dating apps. Holly is pissed and she tells Garrick that he's still appearing on all of the dating profiles, all of the women on the dating sites and on the profiles and on the apps he has, all of them can still see him. He can still chat with anyone he likes. He can still communicate with anyone he likes. Women can still choose to message him. And of course, even though there's proof, Garrick denies it all. And Danielle insists that Garrick knew that he could still chat with women. And she says she told Garrick about this earlier, that he should have deleted all of his profiles, all of his dating apps, and he ignored her. He refused to do it. And Natalia tells Garrick that when he looks one day in the future for another wife, he can then reset his accounts and redo all his profiles. But she expected him to have deleted everything, to have no profiles, to have no dating apps. And in fact, Garrick had volunteered to Natalia when he decided that he wanted to marry her and that their dating was serious, that they loved each other, whatever the fuck they decided. He volunteered to her, listen, I've deleted all my dating apps. I've deleted all my profiles. I'm not communicating with anyone. I only want you. So Natalia feels betrayed. I love how Garrick's strategy when being confronted by two angry, livid women who confront him in his lies is just to play dumb, completely play dumb, and to treat these women as if he completely underestimates their intelligence, as if he genuinely believes he can outsmart them. There's no fucking way. Garrick's a liar and he seems incredibly dishonest. And his main priority, of course, is his little brain. And when Danielle told him months ago to quit it with the dating apps, to remove them, to stop talking to women, he refused for his wife. And now Natalia catches him with his hand in that cookie jar and he plays dumb yet again. And he agrees for Natalia instantaneously to delete the apps. But for his wife, Danielle, months ago, he wouldn't. And that should be telling Danielle a lot about the level of disrespect this man has for her. She deserves better. This guy claims he's all about God, that he's pursuing polygamy for God. But if he's really all about God, let's notice that he's willing to lie to both of these women, one of them his wife. He ignores his wife's voice, and he also is willing to prioritize Natalia over his wife just because he wants to get it in. If Garrick was about God and this wasn't about his dick, he wouldn't be on all of these dating sites still talking to women when he volunteered to this new girl, Natalia, that he was getting off all of these sites. It wasn't something she requested. He just volunteered it. And his wife asked him to delete these apps months ago. He refused for her. Yet for Natalia, he will do it in an instant. And the only reason Garrick is doing this now is to try and keep things pushing forward so that he can propose, so he can finally have sex. That's what this is about. Garrick's dick, and Garrick uses God and his skewed perception of his faith and the Bible to justify his polygamy, to justify doing what his little brain wants. And it's sick. This fool is going through a midlife crisis and he wants to justify hooking up with all of these women and twist God to justify it and manipulate his wife and these women too. When really what he's showing is he isn't godly at all. He isn't good at all. And when he is into openly lying to these women, being deceitful, putting another woman ahead of his wife, putting his dick ahead of everything, including God and what God would want, I think that's sick that he uses his God and his religion to justify this and to manipulate his wife and to attempt to manipulate Natalia too, who is way too smart for this fuck shit. And she deserves better too. Danielle makes excuses up and down for Garrick. And Danielle says she knows Garrick's profile isn't active per se on the dating sites, but she feels if Garrick is telling Natalia he isn't going to add anyone new to talk to till they are at least in the U.S., till she has moved to the U.S., she doesn't get the point of Garrick really even looking at those apps right now or talking to any new women or even the old ones for that matter right now. So Danielle wants Garrick to be honest. She wants him to just tell the truth and be open that he still wants to date people even now while he's dating Natalia. And Danielle feels like that's Garrick's bottom line, that he still wants to date people and that he should be honest. That's his main objective, to date, to get it in. And Danielle knows it. Natalia explains her problem to Garrick. She tells him that the problem is that he told her there is no more using the dating apps anymore, that they're done, they're deleted, he's not using them at all, period, to talk to anyone. He volunteered that. Natalia didn't even ask him to do that. And now she finds out he was lying. He's still active on the dating sites and she's pissed. She doesn't trust him. He kept the apps open on his phone. He's using them openly. And Danielle is pissed about this. Natalia's pissed about this. These are two very angry women and rightfully so. Garrick grovels, of course, because his main objective is to get it in. And he tells Natalia he understands now, maybe he didn't before, but now he really gets it. And he explains that he kept the apps open, he kept his profile there, and he knows that was wrong. Danielle is listening to Garrick grovel with Natalia, and she's pissed because now, suddenly, when Natalia asks him, he then understands the issue and he's sorry with Natalia. But he didn't understand with her. He didn't give a fuck with her when she, as his wife, asked him to remove those dating apps. Next, we get more excuses from Garrick as if we didn't hear enough already. And Garrick says that he told Danielle he didn't want to shut everything down with the dating apps because he wanted to be considerate. He wanted to be sensitive. He wanted to settle things with past people, and he really didn't think it was fair to them to ghost them.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Danielle knows it's total bullshit, obviously. And Garrick says he quit talking to people. And he admits, even though he says he quit talking to people, he didn't take the next step and think it through and actually delete the apps. He says he did what he said he would do. He quit talking to people, but he guesses this is where you learn what women think. And he's making it seem like women are crazy, women are irrational, women think in crazy ways. And he said he quit talking to people and he never quit talking to people. And now he is lying to the world saying, well, I stopped talking to women. I did what they asked of me. Not, I didn't delete the apps and I said I would. Well, I quit talking to women, so it's okay if all the 10 apps, 10 plus apps are there. He basically ends up really not taking accountability, really saying, well, I stopped talking to women, so what's the point? When you can see he's still getting notifications, he's still getting messages, and he just continues to lie. Listen, Garrick's first excuse was that he didn't want to delete the app because he didn't want to lose all of the information. He didn't want to have to redo his profiles. And when Danielle asked him to remove the app, he made those excuses to her. Well, I don't want to delete everything. I don't want to lose all the profiles and all the work I already did filling them in. And he has 10 plus. That's 10 profiles. I guess this guy doesn't know how to copy and paste. Now, with Natalia, he has adapted his excuse to, well, I just didn't want to be rude. I didn't want to ghost people. I told you I wasn't going to be rude and ghost people. Garrick's continual justifications, his reasons for his bullshit that make no sense, that he feels make his behavior okay from his perspective, have changed and adapted. The first reason didn't work, so now he came up with another. When it's the truth, you don't have all of these adaptations. Guess what? The truth never changes. And I think Garrick knew he looked like a dog, so he changed his excuse that he gave with Danielle to now not wanting to be rude and disrespectful to these women on dating sites. So he says he was communicating back and forth with them so as not to ghost them, as if he's sensitive and it's about the women and their emotions and their well-being. This guy is slimy like a snake and creepy as a gargoyle. Garrick doesn't give a fuck if he ghosts women. Garrick only cares about Garrick and his little brain and where he can potentially stick it. That's what this is about, and no amount of twisting or playing dumb obscures that. The reality is, Garrick is lying, and he keeps adapting his story and his excuses. He keeps adapting his reasons, changing his excuses, because he is lying, because he's a used car salesman. The truth never changes. The truth doesn't adapt, and Garrick is swerving and twisting in a time when if he was truly this godly man, full of God, full of religion, he would be taking complete accountability and being honest. Garrick tells Danielle that she knows how he is, and she knows he can't just ghost women. You know, he's a class act. She knows what a great guy he is, what kind of man he is. And he says she knows he doesn't like being rude to women. You know what? Then why the fuck does he treat his wife like a dog? It seems to me that Garrick cares more about the women on the dating sites than he does his own wife. He doesn't want to ghost them. He's more empathetic with them. He's more sensitive than he is with his own wife, it seems. He says he doesn't want to be rude to these women on the dating sites, these strangers to him who message him. So why the fuck is it okay for him to be so rude and disrespectful of his wife and the mother of his kids? All of this is bullshit. All of it. Garrick is lying to himself. He's lying to everybody else. He's lying to his wife. And he's lying to his God, too. Now, Danielle and Natalia are still pissed. And they're side-eyeing the fuck out of Garrick right now. Danielle knows this nice guy, sensitive routine about Garrick not wanting to ghost the women on the dating sites is bullshit. So she asks him if he really cares if women on the dating sites who haven't messaged him in months message him back now, if he really cares, if he really has to answer for those strangers. And Garrick tells Danielle he doesn't want to be rude. No, but he can disrespect the fuck out of his wife. But he doesn't want to be rude. Danielle feels very disrespected. And it really hurts her that now that Natalia is asking him to do the same thing that she requested months ago to delete these apps, he is saying he'll delete it right now when he refused for her. Imagine how disrespected Danielle as Garrick's wife must feel, especially knowing Natalia, a stranger Garrick has known for less than 6 months, takes precedence over her as his wife, as the mother of his kids. Garrick is a dick face. Both of these women are too good for him, and they both deserve better than his pasty ass. Natalia tells Garrick that she doesn't get why he had to reply back to all of these women on the dating apps, especially since he doesn't know them in real life. He never had relationships with them. They're strangers to him. And she says Garrick told her he hadn't talked to any of these women for months, and that was a big lie. And she says when Garrick asked her to date, he said he would get off all of the dating apps. It wasn't something she requested. It was never something she questioned him about. And we learn she didn't even know he used all those apps. So she was very surprised when she discovered the dating app on his phone. And it really stressed her out and she felt betrayed because Garrick is the one who proposed to her that he would be deleting all of the apps. Natalia is frustrated and she wants to go to her room. She's had enough. So Garrick, at this point, he looks devastated, but not for the right reasons. Garrick isn't devastated over betraying his wife and disappointing her, the mother of his kids. He's not devastated over disrespecting her. No, no, no. Garrick is all torn up because he thinks this has hurt his relationship with Natalia. He gives zero fucks about his wife and her emotions. Garrick says Natalia doesn't know him well, so she may not get where he is coming from. Garrick laments that he was going to propose tonight, but now it's not happening and he's disappointed and his little brain is just distraught over this mess. He was so close, so close. He's sad for himself. He's sad for his dick. He's not sad for his wife, the mother of his kids, or really for Natalia either. Next up are the Salahuddins, Naeem and Nyla. They're headed to the airport to pick up Keisha, and they've been talking to her for months, and they're very excited to meet her for the first time. They think she is it. They're pretty convinced, even though they've never even seen her in real life. Nyla isn't ready for Keisha kissing Naeem yet, and she says it's not allowed until she gives permission. The Salahuddins are really excited. They've ordered flowers special for Keisha tonight. They're driving to the airport to pick her up. And they plan on setting the boundaries tonight with her about the relationship, the roles, what's allowed, what's not allowed. And Nyla is very uncomfortable already with Keisha spending the night. She is okay maybe with a little hand-holding with Naeem, her husband, but she doesn't want any intimacy. The rule is no intimacy before marriage and nothing beyond a little handholding. Now, Keisha definitely isn't spending the night in their home. They're going to be getting Keisha a hotel room. And Naeem reveals he's okay with a quick peck or a hug even. But for him, that's where the line is drawn. So Naeem is going to get this hotel room. And Nyla wonders if Naeem had considered spending the night with Keisha because she isn't cool with that. And Naeem assures her it's not happening. He says that thought hasn't crossed his mind. Of course it has. He's a man. Naeem says he really wants to know Keisha in person. He wants to get to know her well before he ever even thinks about sex. He wants to see if the chemistry is there. And the first meeting is going to be all three of them all together just to see if there is chemistry there. And Nyla makes it very clear there will be no sex in the champagne room. They don't know Keisha yet. They're not prepared to rush things. And she makes it clear there will be no sex. Not under any circumstances. We learn why Nyla feels some kind of way about this and why she keeps stressing this point. Because Naeem kissed a potential sister wife before. And then things went south and the woman completely lost contact with Nyla. And she was having more contact, but only with Naeem after that kiss. So Naeem and Nyla have discussed really taking it slow with Keisha, really taking their time. Nyla says that the kiss incident is in her mind. She keeps it in her mind. She has some anxiety over it, but she really wants to just drop her walls and she wants to move forward with this. So the Salahuddins explain to the flower lady that they're meeting their potential sister wife. These scenes are always awkward when polygamous couples reveal unnecessarily when no one asked that they're polygamists. It usually elicits a weird facial expression on the person who's like, why the fuck are you telling me this? I don't need to know. But it's great for TLC filming, and I think TLC loves it when the polygamous couples do that. So they're unnecessarily telling their florist lady that they're polygamous, that this bouquet is for their potential sister wife. And Nyla explains to the flower lady, who doesn't know what polygamy is, what it is a little bit. And the lady isn't too warm and welcoming. She kind of has like a smirk or negative type of a scowl on her face. She says nothing about this. It's just very awkward. She kind of is just trying to be polite to them, but you could tell she thinks it's bullshit. You could tell this isn't her cup of tea. And then she explains to cameras on her own that she's been a florist for over 30 years and this is her first polygamist customer. The producer asks the florist what she found out about polygamists and polygamy today, and the florist responds candidly that truthfully, they're assholes. And I have to give it to this lady. At least she is being honest about it and she's saying how she feels. She says she wouldn't deal with multiple people because it's hard enough dealing with one person. Again, Nyla sets the ground rules with Naeem that there is no going up to the hotel room with Keisha. And Naeem again assures his wife that he's just going to go get the room and give Keisha the key. Nyla really seems very insecure. She's obviously insecure about this. And she says she demands a text from Naeem right when he gets back in the car after he takes Keisha to get her hotel room. Now, Nyla explains that the jealousy of seeing her husband with someone, she has those moments. She knows that that's her issue. She says that's not necessarily an issue that she needs to speak on. She says she notices the jealousy. She recognizes that she is human and she keeps it moving. Yeah, but it's not that easy and it's not going to be that easy when she has another wife to deal with, a sister wife to deal with. I think jealousy is going to be a big issue here. I think Nyla already is insecure about her husband moving faster than she wants to with the intimacy. And if Nyla already feels so much about this before she has even met Keisha, maybe this is a bad idea. Maybe the jealousy is Nyla's intuition, her instinct, really wanting to be monogamous with her husband of 16 years. And I wonder, was polygamy really Nyla's idea? And why does she really want it? And what does it offer to her? Because I think she is less down with this than she tries to come across on the show. As the Salahuddins are driving to the airport to pick Keisha up, she texts them to tell them she is having some second thoughts. And Nyla reads the text that Keisha sends. She says she has concerns about how everything will go. She says she has some loose ends to tie up, and she isn't sure how much time it's going to take to do that. She tells them she needs to find a place to leave her car. She's staying with a friend. But before she can leave, she needs to move all of her stuff into her friend's guest house. So they're driving to the airport expecting to see her soon and pick her up. They've just bought her custom flowers, and she is giving them a laundry list of reasons why she's not coming. It looks to me like Keisha is looking for a stable roof over her head and financial security from these people. I don't think she is at all in this for having a sister, wife, or a husband. Naeem and Nyla wonder why Keisha is just telling them this today. She's just mentioning about all of this today. They were both under the impression that she was supposed to already be in the air, and they're en route to pick her up, and she's telling them all this. So Nyla texts Keisha back, but Keisha doesn't respond. Nyla says this morning they talked to Keisha, and they have talked to her constantly for months, and these things have never came up, not until today. Yeah, this is much like Natalia's surprise visa issue that came up the day she was supposed to fly to Cancun to meet the Merrifields, where she just happened to need money to pay off the visa guy to get her to the top of the list, since the website had bugs. Just like that, huh? It seems a lot of these potential wives and sister wives seem to bullshit for attention, or they want money, or they're doing it for stability. But I feel they are rarely ever truly in it for the relationship or the lifestyle. They're rarely in it for the husband and the sister wife. Nyla is trying to call Keisha, and the call isn't going through. He doesn't think Keisha is coming at all. I'll bet Keisha probably took the money for the plane ticket that the Salahuddin sent her, and she probably got her hair done and her nails done and did all the things with that money. I wonder if Naeem and Nyla bought her a non-refundable ticket, if they gave her cash, or if they bought her a ticket she was able to refund. Because in my opinion, Keisha already got what she wanted from these people. But I guess we'll just have to see. Nyla wants to just stay calm and wait to hear back from Keisha for a text or a call. And Naeem says this is a setup on the day of to not come. Ding, ding, ding. Naeem for the win. Nyla says Keisha hasn't mentioned any of this before. Keisha was just texting yesterday that she can't wait to see them. Naeem says he's disappointed and he wishes Keisha told them about all of this sooner. There wasn't all of this. All of this is an excuse for why she's not coming. I don't think she ever had any intention of coming. Naeem says his disappointment turns to anger sometimes, but he's trying to avoid that because he worries mostly about his wife. Nyla thought they found the one in Keisha. They were so sure. They developed a future. They were already unfolding this future in their minds. And to have that stripped away, it's now hard to not put a wall up and say, I'm never going to do this again. Naeem says he was sending Keisha prospective homes they might live in one day. And Nyla is very disheartened with this. She says she struggles with vulnerability with this, and she struggles with wanting to be vulnerable again and continue dating. One thing I will say about Naeem is he does genuinely seem concerned about his wife. He seems to prioritize his wife's feelings. And Naeem decides that he and his wife, they're fine as hell. They still have dinner reservations and they are going out. And Nyla's feeling like it's Keisha's loss. Next up are the Ryan family. And the Ryans cross major boundaries and they wander into stalker territory with Stephanie. Justin and Becky have decided to go on a 1 or 2 day road trip after they got stood up by Desiree. They were really deflated by that and they had doubts about continuing on with dating. And then out of the blue, Stephanie called the Ryans. Stephanie is the Ryans' potential sister wife. They have dated Stephanie for 9 months. They say it was love at first sight. The relationship progressed super quickly. Then all of a sudden, Stephanie ghosted them. She said sorry and she's apologized to them. And now she's asked them to come see her. And Justin and Becky came running because Justin admits there is nobody else in his life that he has loved, and he adds, outside of Becky, his wife, and his family, he has loved no one other than Stephanie. He is super in love with her. Stephanie invited Becky and Justin to visit her. And the night before, Stephanie told them, the trip is off, don't come anymore, because She has to work. She told them not to come. She made her wishes clear that she doesn't want them coming. They have decided to take the trip regardless of Stephanie's boundaries, regardless of Stephanie's wishes. They are driving 12 hours to see her, even though she told them not to come, that she has work. So she's told them not to come, but they're going to drive 12 hours. They're going to go visit her anyway, and it's going to be surprise. We're here anyway. And they think it's going to go well. The Ryans explained Stephanie has no clue they're coming anyway, but she initially invited them. She initially set it up. They booked a room, and at the last minute, she changed her mind. So the Ryans decided, we are going to go anyways. Because they say in other downtimes, whenever they did see Stephanie, she seemed to melt in his arms. She seemed to be happy to see them. Never mind that they're crossing all these boundaries. Never mind that this is what Stephanie said she doesn't want. They don't care. Justin feels once he and his wife show up, Stephanie will just be so happy to see them, even though she told them not to come. This is definitely stalker vibes. This is creepy. They are driving 12 hours to go someplace Stephanie told them not to go. She doesn't want them to come. It's intrusive as fuck. It's stalkery. It crosses boundaries. Justin is gross. He is disgusting, by the way. On the way to stalk this poor girl, Stephanie, he asks his wife for chapstick so his lips are moist and kissable. Gross. Everything about this man is repulsive and something feels very off with this man. These two seem delusional. And Justin says, the only reason why they spend so much time pursuing Stephanie when she gets cold feet is because to them, she is the perfect one. And he says she's their age. Her life is mirrored theirs. She has kids. She had them when she was young, just like they did. Becky feels Stephanie is someone she can see herself growing old together with and going through the grandparent moments with, taking care of their kids and their kids' kids together. Becky sees Stephanie as the perfect person for that. But what about how Stephanie feels? Becky has a necklace on. It's a necklace Stephanie gave her on their second date. And she says it's a sister forever necklace, a sister wife necklace. Becky calls Stephanie on the way on this 12-hour drive where they're coming unannounced, where she canceled and told them not to come. They're calling her on this 12-hour drive just in case she answers the phone. Just in case Stephanie, who told them not to come, that she has work, picks up. There's no answer, of course, and Becky reveals that Stephanie told her recently that her best friend told her she wouldn't be friends with her anymore if she wanted to be with them. But Becky feels that Stephanie has recommitted to them several times as a permanent sister wife, so now they feel like they really should be getting much more communication back from Stephanie if that's the true case. They expect more from her. In my opinion, these people are stalkerish. They can't read social cues. They're not self-aware. They're creepy. They're cringe. And they're scary as fuck. They're delusional. There are major red flags with these two. If Stephanie is on again, off again, if she has cold feet, whatever it is, they need to respect where she's at, and she told them not to come, and if they really care about her, they would respect that. They called her again on the drive, and she forwarded it to voicemail. So they're driving 12 hours to visit Stephanie, even though she told them don't come, even though she's not picking up their phone calls. And in the car, they're smiling and giggling like village idiots on this drive, as midlife crisis Justin jokes about needing chapstick for all the kissing he thinks he's going to be doing with Stephanie in his delusional mind. Stephanie, who told them not to come. This is crazy. This is nuts. These two are nuts and not in a good way. Their lack of respect for people's boundaries is wrong, and they feel it's okay to disrespect people's boundaries just because they selfishly are trying to get what they want out of this person and out of this situation. It's gross and it's selfish and it's delusional. And it seems to me that they're both really into Stephanie, and because they're into Stephanie, that matters more than Stephanie's feelings. So they don't care what Stephanie wants. They care about possessing Stephanie and getting what they want out of her for themselves. They don't actually care about Stephanie. They don't seem to actually care about her feelings. They don't seem to actually care about her boundaries. They don't seem to care about where she is at or what she wants or what page she is on. These two have decided that they love Stephanie, so they don't really give a fuck how Stephanie feels about them. They want to force themselves on her when she told them, don't come. And that doesn't sit right with me. This is alarming and it's gross. They really need to take a hint. Becky says she feels this trip is make it or break it. She says they need to lay down the law with Stephanie, who again told them don't come. But they demand to know from her where she stands one way or the other. The back and forth, the hot and cold is just too much for them. Well, maybe the stalking and the violating of boundaries is just too much for Stephanie. These two are suffocating. Justin thinks this will either be their final sucker-ass trip, though this might be their final sucker-ass move, and he wonders who knows what'll happen as Becky wipes away tears. Wow. I would say these people are delusional and they need a therapist stat. They don't need a sister wife. Next up are the Merrifields. It's the next morning after the dating app disaster, and Garrick talks to Danielle about everything that happened last night. And Garrick tells her he feels really bad about all this. And Danielle explains that last night was rough and they're all waking up this morning. They're all feeling rocky. They're all feeling unsure of where this will go or how they're going to move forward from this. And Garrick tells Danielle he should have just listened to her. Garrick explains that now Natalia is questioning his intentions and wondering if he is a good guy, if he deceived her. She's wondering if he is a man of his word. We already have the answer to that. It's a big fat N-O. Garrick knows things aren't looking so good for him. Danielle looks totally defeated this morning. She looks on the verge of tears like she usually does, as Garrick tells her that he needs to worry about her and Natalia and that the two of them, these two women, need to be his priorities from now on. He tells Danielle that he doesn't want to displease her, he doesn't want to displease God, and he doesn't want to displease Natalia. He forgot to add that he doesn't want to displease his little brain, Micro. Garrick's talking in his low, soft, creepy SK voice, and he tells Danielle he's sorry. And Danielle tells Garrick that it's okay. It's not okay. Danielle deserves better. Danielle explains that Garrick is a super sensitive, kind, emotional person. And she says she knows that Garrick didn't intend to hurt her or Natalia. She thinks that Garrick realizes that he did hurt them, but she thinks Garrick definitely wants to make it right and that he loves both of them. It sounds to me like Danielle is just doing PR for Garrick. And the way that Danielle says all this stuff, it just feels like she is saying words with no inner conviction in them, just to try and make her husband look like less of a dick face on television. Danielle says there are going to be hard times in relationships. She knows that, and she hopes Natalia will weather the storm with them. And Danielle tells Garrick, they have only known Natalia less than 4 months. Basically, that's her way of saying it's too soon. Garrick still wants to propose to Natalia to show her that he's sincere, he isn't playing games, and he wants to show Natalia that she is important to him. Important enough to delete those dating apps. Important enough to make a custom wedding ring. What kind of a wedding ring did he give Danielle, I wonder? Danielle says that God leads them and they walk together. And she tells Garrick she loves him and they're both creepily petting each other, rubbing each other's hands. It's really gross and creepy. Garrick wants to apologize to both Natalia and Danielle. And he wants to make it clear and apologize to Danielle in front of Natalia to impress her, in my opinion. Down comes Natalia to meet Garrick and Danielle. And she hugs Danielle, but not Garrick. Garrick tells Natalia that he should have listened to his wife, Danielle. And it's really creepy. In his SK voice, in his soft whispers, he refers to his own wife, Danielle, as sister when he's talking to Natalia. And it's creepy as fuck. And he tells Natalia, sister was looking out for his good. Garrick is revolting. He's so culty. He's so creepy with that pasty skin and those SK eyes and the way he talks in those soft whispers. It makes my spine chill every time I see his face on screen. Everything in my gut when I see this man screams at me when this clown is on the screen. Run, run, run. Red flag, red flag, red flag, alert. Now, Garrick tells Natalia that he knows he needs to get his priorities right. He says he needs to get his priorities right. Is it about his priorities and getting them right? Or is it that he needs to obfuscate using other priorities to hide the ulterior motive that he has? The fact that his dick is his priority, that getting it in is his priority. Garrick is apologizing to Natalia, giving her this priorities talk on the translator app, really apologizing, as Danielle looks completely broken watching Garrick. Still, after all of this, Danielle seems utterly shocked that there is still the potential for things to move forward. I think Danielle was hoping she would drive Natalia away. She did everything she could. She openly communicated with Natalia about her hesitation, hoping maybe that would stall things. She brought up the dating apps, and still, nothing has deterred Garrick from wanting to propose. In fact, he wants it more. Because he knows, once that ring is on that finger, in his warped mind, in his pea brain, once that ring is on that finger, in God's eyes, he feels it's okay, he can get it in. And that's all he's here for, people. That's all that this is about. Danielle has no joy in her eyes. She looks traumatized. She looks devastated. She looks like she suffers. She looks sad. And this is all because of Dickface Garrick. She deserves better. Now, Garrick tells Natalia that she and Danielle are more important to him than anybody else. And Natalia tells Garrick she understands, but she hopes he changes. And it's important for him to recognize his mistakes and that he moves on. And she hopes it doesn't happen again. Guess what? It will happen again. If you're going into a relationship or a marriage hoping and expecting that someone's going to change and they say they'll never do it again, they're never going to never do it again. That will never be true. It will always happen again and again and again and again. Natalia can have all the hope in the world. It's going to happen again. Garrick's a dog. Garrick's going to continue to be a dog. Danielle reassures Natalia that she knows Garrick never wants to hurt anybody, that he doesn't want to hurt her. He doesn't want to hurt anybody. And more than anything, he doesn't want to ever put other people before any of them, before Natalia, before Danielle, before the kids. Nobody comes before Natalia and Danielle and his family. Nobody but the women on the dating sites. And he has to respond back, guys. He doesn't want to be rude. Yet here we have Danielle assuring Natalia that nobody comes before them for Garrick. And Garrick never wants to hurt anyone. But he just did. Garrick plays dumb again. And he asks Danielle and Natalia for help. To help him delete the dating apps as if he doesn't know how to do it himself. He knows damn well how to remove those apps himself. He put them there. He could remove them too. Natalia wants to know from Garrick how many dating profiles he has, how many dating apps he has. And Garrick says in total, he has about 10. And 10 seems like the low number, like he's not giving her the full amount. So he says he has 10 in total. And she tells Garrick he said he didn't remember initially how many he has. So Garrick stalls. He grabs his phone for the translator to try and answer her. And Natalia is impatient. She says he doesn't need the translator app. He doesn't need his phone to answer her. She says she can understand whatever number he throws out in English, 1, 2, whatever it may be. He doesn't need the app for that. He doesn't need the translator. She's frustrated. She lets him know, listen, she understands. Just tell her. And so Garrick tells Natalia he has lots. And she wants to know how many. She asks him how many. And he says lots. She throws out the number 10 and he says lots. And Natalia thought he had one app, but then he admits to having 10 apps, which means he probably had more than that, like 15 or 20. Next up are the Salahuddins. They enjoy their dinner out, even though Keisha stood them up. And Nyla is really disappointed at this. Keisha still hasn't reached out since the morning, and they haven't heard one peep from this woman. Naeem really thought that they found the one with Keisha, and both Naeem and Nyla felt that they had perfect relationships with Keisha. And now it didn't come to fruition, and Naeem feels horrible about it. Naeem says he wants to meet people face to face in real life, in person. He doesn't want to do social media or dating apps anymore. He wants to date in person and with people who are closer to them, who they can drive to see really often. They can look them in the eye. They can be face to face. And Nyla says the difference is with social media, you are already meeting people in a group setting where you know these people are into polygamy. They're willing to date polygamists. They know that they're down for it. And in real life, meeting people in real life, you don't really know if people are down for it. That scares Nyla, and she's never done it before, and she doesn't know how people will even react to polygamy. She feels that that would be too open and too vulnerable with taking on the opinion of other people, and she doesn't want their opinion on her, and she feels it's going to make her feel too vulnerable. She doesn't like that idea. And Nyla says every time they do this, she makes friends with the potential sister wife, and then those friendships disappear. So she wonders if she should even do this again. And Naeem says seeing Nyla go through this makes him want to stop, but Nyla doesn't want to allow the actions of someone to taint this whole situation, and she says she wants to proceed. She wants Naeem to proceed with it. So as a couple, they want to proceed with this. And Naeem says he's committed, but it has to be different moving forward. He wants to only approach dating in real life. And Naeem says they need to see what's out there in real life, not online, not on the social media. He isn't scared of that, but Nyla is. Next up are the Davis family. April says since Daniela's moved out, then moved back home, she still hasn't had the one-on-one conversation with her that she wanted to. As first wife, April considers herself the matriarch of the family. So she wants to sit with Danielle and discuss how her moving out and then moving back in affected the whole family. So April tells Danielle she doesn't know if Danielle knows the seriousness of the impact she had when she left. And April explains to Danielle that she went and she got this lease on her own. She got this apartment independently on her own. She handled her finances independently to be able to do that. She did all of these things, and she didn't even give April a chance to talk to her about it. Danielle explains that just doing it independently by herself, she felt that it would be much less hurtful to everyone. And April feels if Danielle left because this was all just too much for her, if she left because she wanted to live alone or she felt like she couldn't be herself and she could only be herself when she lived alone, then April wonders how she will know that Danielle won't ever do this again. And Danielle says that's the part where she feels so bad because she didn't mean to ever cause anyone harm. And April says it hurt her to see Nick and Jennifer upset over Danielle leaving. But it was most hurtful when she was trying to brush Vera's teeth and Vera wouldn't let April do it because she is so used to Danielle doing it for her. And at this, Danielle breaks down in tears. She's sobbing and she says it broke her heart to hear that because Danielle is so proud to brush Vera's teeth every night to put her to bed. She takes care of Vera every night. And Danielle tells April she loves them all so much and with all of her heart. And so she can never forgive herself. She would never want her kids to ever think she abandoned them or like she didn't love them or like she didn't want to be there for them. So April tells Danielle to forgive herself because they all forgive her. They all understand. April tells Danielle there's understanding. They understand. And she asks Danielle to forgive herself and not to carry that guilt. I don't think Danielle should feel guilty. I think this is kind of manipulative, frankly. Do they feel guilty about not making Danielle feel heard over the dating thing initially? About making Danielle feel so unsafe that she couldn't discuss her emotions or how she felt and feel like she would be heard? Are they considering how that felt for Danielle? Why should Danielle feel guilty? Maybe they should feel bad that Danielle didn't feel comfortable to address these things and communicate in the home, and she felt she had to move out. Danielle says she feels really good when April tells her that she forgives her, and Danielle feels it's a lot of grace and a lot of love coming from April and the family. And April tells Danielle that she chooses her, and she also tells Danielle that Danielle means more to her than expanding the family or adding another girl onto the family. And April thinks that they need to take it slow with the dating. They're going to take it slow and pump the brakes on that. April tells Danielle she needs to know that Danielle will talk to her, that she'll communicate, that she'll be able to communicate with her when she is having a hard time so that they can work through it in the future instead of her just moving out. So Danielle feels really relieved after this talk. And she also feels better that they're holding off on dating. She's relieved. And she also feels good that there is space to move forward. So Danielle tells April that she's willing to do whatever it takes. And April makes Danielle promise that she will never do that again. And Danielle promises her she'll never do it again. She apologizes and she says, never again, as if she's the one who did the Davises wrong. As if it's not the other members of the Davis family who didn't consider her emotions and her well-being and her feelings to the point where she felt so unsafe and so invalidated that she couldn't speak up about how she felt. I seriously hope Danielle keeps that apartment. Now, April says they want to hold off on dating for Danielle's sake because they want her to be comfortable, they love her, and they want her to feel that she belongs there. But the possibility of Danielle leaving again is still looming over everyone. But April says she has to take Danielle at her word that that will never happen again. And Danielle again assures April it will never happen again. And she says she learned her lesson. I seriously hope Danielle keeps her apartment. Eventually, these people are going to date again. And I don't think time is going to make Danielle okay with this or ready for that. And I think all of these issues are just going to pop up again when the dating comes up. This conversation felt manipulative, mentioning Vera not letting anyone else want to brush her teeth and things like that. It all felt very manipulative, and it felt like they know that Danielle really loves the kids and the sense of belonging and the family. And I think they use that as a way to play on her emotions and guilt trip her and suck her back in. Danielle is very young, she's vulnerable, she's impressionable, and all she wants is a sense of family and belonging and love. And April tugged at that need with that conversation. She tugged at those emotions to push Danielle to promise never to leave again. And she also seemed frustrated that Danielle financially spent her own money on that lease. And I think it's because that money that she secured that lease with didn't go to the family. As we know, in that family, the women work as Nick sits on his ass all day playing Mr. Mom and Danielle helps him. And it seems to me they really want Danielle there to support with the childcare and supplement with that. Next up are the Merrifields. Natalia is pissed again after learning that Garrick and Danielle had 10 dating apps. 10 seems really excessive. Now, Garrick says it's because so many people don't go on these dating apps wanting to live polygamy, so they need a bigger pool to pick from to find people who are down for this lifestyle. Now, Garrick knows that Natalia is unhappy about him having the 10 dating apps, and she's shocked by that. And Garrick explains, the reason they have the 10 dating apps is living polygamy is so uncommon, so to find people who are actually interested in polygamy is so uncommon that they need the 10 dating apps. Natalia is surprised, and she's not only surprised that Garrick has such a huge number of dating apps, but also that he still hasn't deleted them, even the morning after this incident. And she asks if there is anything else she needs to know from Garrick, if there's anything else he needs to bring up. And Garrick says he can't think of anything, and she asks how Garrick would feel if she told him that she was deleting her dating apps back then when they both started dating and she didn't do that and she was still actively on there answering people back, responding, commenting on them, very active on her dating apps. And Garrick says he's disappointed and he would be disappointed if Natalia told him that. He says he's disappointed in himself. He hates lying. He hates doing anything like that. Yeah, but he lied like over 5 times in the conversation about the dating apps. changing excuses, changing the stories, changing the reasons, da, 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 lie, lie, lie. But he hates lying. He hates doing anything like that. And he says he feels ashamed. And he would be ashamed of Natalia if she told him she was still on dating apps. Garrick says he is willing to do it all to show Natalia he loves her. And he says he's being sincere. He's being honest that even though this looks bad, his intention was never to deceive her or to trick her, but he feels there will eventually come a time after Natalia has adjusted to the U.S. that they're going to have five wives total, and they're going to have the dating apps back on his phone and all of those profiles in order to achieve that. So Garrick says Natalia will just have to work through that when the time comes because he's going to be on those dating apps. He has to find wife number 3, 4, and 5. But he tells cameras that privately in confessional. He doesn't address that to Natalia. Listen, Natalia isn't going to put up with Garrick's pasty ass for long. She deserves better. She should run. Natalia tells Garrick that she hopes he's being honest. She hopes he's not lying. And she tells him not to ever lie to her again. She wants him to promise. And Danielle assures Natalia that Garrick didn't want to hurt her. Garrick wipes away tears as he admits that he hurt Natalia. He's in tears over hurting Natalia, but he doesn't give a fuck if he hurts his wife. Natalia comments that Danielle always worries about defending Garrick. And she tells Danielle that Garrick has to learn to bear the consequences of his mistakes. Ding, ding, ding. He needs to learn to be honest with himself and everybody else and take accountability, but that'll never happen. And Danielle says she knows Garrick's heart. She has learned him over the years and she isn't trying to defend him at all. Next, Garrick directs Danielle to tell Natalia that she knows he's wrong. So Danielle does what Garrick asks her in English. And she tells Natalia that she knows Garrick was wrong with his behavior. And Garrick says he knows he was wrong. He tells Natalia he's sorry. He won't do this again. He wants Natalia's forgiveness. And Natalia forgives him. She says, okay, they kiss and make up. And I think Natalia is just going to milk him some more for as much financial benefit as she can. And she should. I wouldn't blame her. Now, Natalia thinks that Garrick understands what he did. He doesn't understand shit. Does Natalia know that Garrick plans on having 5 wives total and that he just told cameras that she better get used to his dating apps? Natalia says she hopes she is right in giving this vote of confidence to Garrick and that he will not disappoint her anymore. He definitely will disappoint Natalia. And Natalia says she loves Garrick. Otherwise, she wouldn't be giving him this second chance. She says she gave the second chance to Garrick because she really likes him. She really likes his wallet. Does she really like Garrick or does she really want to milk as much money as she can out of Garrick before she ghosts him? I think she knows exactly how desperate Garrick is for her and that Danielle will do whatever Garrick wants to please him and assuage him. And I think Natalia knows she can string them along for longer and capitalize off of this. But I don't believe she loves Garrick. I don't believe she likes him. I think she wants to profit as much as possible from this opportunity. And I think Garrick is stupid. I think he's pussy whipped. I don't blame Natalia one bit for stringing this along. Natalia says time will tell if Garrick will really fulfill the promise he just made to her. Next, Garrick brings up the Bible and some religious manipulation. He wants to quote the Bible to manipulate Danielle and Natalia with his cult stuff. He asks, what did King David say? And he quotes, please, Lord, cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean, in his creepy stalker voice. And Garrick explains that you put hyssop in a wound to kill the infection. And he says God had to fester something in him that needed change. He had to fester something out of him that needed change. And that's why this happened. Now, as he's doing his little prophet act, Natalia rolls her eyes at this bullshit. She's glaring at Garrick and she tells Garrick not to ever repeat this bullshit again, this fuckery that he did last night with the dating apps. Now, is Garrick going to be using this hyssop on his dick to kill all the STDs he gets from the women on his dating sites? Did God create enough hyssop in all the world for that cleansing? You know what? Garrick is one sick fuck. All he cares about is sex, and it's really disturbing how he twists the Bible and God to try and seem like he's this meek, humble, pious, righteous man to Natalia and to his wife, and he's using God and his twisted perception to manipulate these women and justify his sex addiction and his midlife crisis. What a sick fuck Garrick is. He's absolutely revolting. Next up are the psycho Ryans driving 2 hours to see Stephanie. Justin feels this is the make it or break it point. They're either going to go for this or they're going to move on. So they're headed to see Stephanie, and they know that earlier she was telling them she really wanted to see them, that they should come soon. And then she called them back telling them, please don't come, I have to work. But Justin already booked the hotel, so they drove down regardless of the fact that Stephanie doesn't want them there. So at this point, Stephanie has stopped answering the texts and the calls from the Ryans as they're making this 12-hour drive down to stalk her. So Stephanie has no clue that they're coming after she told them not to come. Now, Justin says he tries to be understanding, but Stephanie's flip-flopping, it hurts him a lot. He says he loves her to death, and he says he will take a bullet for her. He will do anything for her. Yeah, sure, he'll do anything, anything but respect her boundaries and wishes, though. Justin says it's harder to play the cat and mouse game than it is to have the initial smack in the face of not being with her. And Becky feels they are ready to break the cycle, but with Stephanie, they are being treated like crap. She can throw them away or put them on a shelf when she feels like she wants to. And she's expecting that they will always be there for her whenever she's ready to come back. And Becky feels Stephanie is treating them like shit and taking them for granted. Maybe Stephanie and Justin are the ones who are not picking up what Stephanie is putting down. Becky doesn't want to be without Stephanie, but she also doesn't want to keep being hung up on somebody who will keep doing this, not appreciating all of the energy, effort, time, emotional support, and everything, I'm assuming everything means money, that they have given to her. Justin feels that for 9 months, they have given 110% to Stephanie. And Justin says they know they love her, but they aren't sure if she loves them or not. And he concludes that Stephanie is either playing them or she is just super, super busy and she doesn't have time to see them. It's obvious to me that Stephanie is just using them for financial reasons and they're head over heels. And Stephanie probably knows this and uses this to her advantage, especially when she needs things financially. So she probably pretends to be into them when she has bills to pay, when she needs something, and then she pulls back when she's all good. I doubt Stephanie is that into these people. They act like loons, and it's a huge crossing of boundaries to visit someone and drive 12 hours when she has asked you not to come. It's completely crazy and inappropriate. I wouldn't feel safe dating anyone who didn't respect my boundaries and who just did what they wanted because they felt entitled to, because they loved me or they had these emotions for me. I think it's crazy, it's obsessive, and it's not love. It's a creep show with scary stalker vibes, and it's gross. It's pathetic. Justin wonders if paying for Stephanie's gym membership will soften her stance. And Becky thinks so. She thinks they should go for it because they want to make her happy. They want her happy, so she agrees to date them. So they want to bribe Stephanie with money, like she's a piece of meat, like she's an object to buy at a store and possess. It seems to me like these two are delusional nuts who don't respect themselves or the people they date. These two fools are in their late 40s, early 50s, driving 12 hours to see a woman who told them not to come, and now they want to pay for her gym membership to keep her happy and soften her to being with them. It feels gross and controlling and manipulative and disgusting and exploitative. And maybe Stephanie was using them to some extent, but it's also not okay for them to feel entitled to people and their love and their time because they pay for them or because they have these emotions for them that aren't reciprocated. I don't blame Stephanie at all for this situation, and we haven't even seen her yet. I blame these two idiots with not one shred of common sense between them. Justin says while they were on good terms, Stephanie told them that she was going crazy because she couldn't go to the gym and she loves the gym. So Justin has decided to pay her gym membership to get Stephanie back to working out ASAP and to sweeten the pot so that she will continue dating them. So not only do Weirdo and Creepo drive 12 hours to see this person who told them don't come, they proactively decide to find her gym, scope it out, and go there in person to pay her gym membership. This is super scary, super inappropriate, super stalkery. But they find her gym, they go in person, and they try to pay Stephanie's gym membership without asking her first if this is okay. This is pathetic, this is desperate, and this is scary as fuck. Justin explains that when someone promises you everything, when they promise, I will be there until I die, the only thing to do is to be generous. And the only thing he feels there is to do is to be generous with Stephanie because they love her so much, so they're always buying her stuff. So they're trying to buy her love. They don't even seem to consider what Stephanie wants or how Stephanie feels. It seems to be all about them and how they feel about her, but they don't care about what boundaries she's setting with them or her well-being or where she's at with them or what page she's on with them. They don't give a fuck. They just want to buy her no matter what she feels like and have her for themselves. And it's sick and it's scary and it's creepy. And it also shows they're not actually in love with Stephanie. They're obsessed with her. Justin hopes that them paying for her gym membership helps get rid of this round of doubt, that it shows Stephanie that nobody cares for her like they do. Becky suggests to Justin that they should go to Stephanie's house and they want to spy and see if her car is there. And Justin points out that Stephanie's car may be parked in her garage. So Becky volunteers to spy in the windows of the garage to see if the car is there. These people are nuts and this is crazy. And I would feel very unsafe if I were Stephanie. These people are using money as a way to control. They are trying to buy Stephanie's love to obtain her like she's an object. And it gives me very bad vibes. Very bad. They don't care at all about how Stephanie feels about them. They only care about how they feel about Stephanie. If they really love this woman, Stephanie, so much, they would respect her boundaries instead of trying to buy her love. Their generosity isn't free. They aren't doing it out of love for her. They are doing it out of expectation and entitlement. And they seem to feel, because they spend money on Stephanie, that they are entitled to her, that they're entitled to her body, that they're entitled to her love, that they're entitled to her commitment. And that is beyond disturbing and sick. These two are suffocating. It's annoying as fuck. Justin says he knows this seems crazy, but he told Becky that he is in love with Stephanie. And he says he and Becky have been together 26 years, and he told Stephanie he is in love with her, and he intends to be with her in the same way he is with Becky. What about what Stephanie wants? No one seems to care about Stephanie and what she wants. And if these two really loved her like they say they do, they would definitely be giving a fuck. They get to Stephanie's house and Justin suggests that Becky hop the fence. Are you fucking kidding me? Becky decides to knock on the door because Justin doesn't want Stephanie to feel mad at them for showing up or intimidated by the fact that they showed up. So Justin waits in the car and Becky knocks on the door. My advice, get a restraining order, Stephanie, because this could escalate. In my opinion, these people are nuts. They have zero boundaries or self-awareness, and it's scary, and this is no joke. It's not cute or funny. It's scary. That does it for this episode. I'll be back next week for the next episode of Seeking Sister Wife, Season 5, Episode 6, Seeking Commitment. Thanks for listening. I'll see you soon. Bye.